Would you join me in welcoming Mr. Tim Johnson, reporter for the People's Daily World? He's going to speak to us about how Malcolm X was reflected in the pages of Muhammad Speaks. Mr. Johnson?
Let me just start out by saying, in terms of the configuration of the panel as it was planned, I was asked to speak on how Malcolm was reflected within the pages of Muhammad Speaks. One of the reasons is because I compiled a bibliography on Malcolm X that, among other things, went through all the issues of Muhammad Speaks to cite the articles, all the issues of New York Times, Amsterdam News, and a number of other newspapers, African newspapers also. The other two people who were supposed to be here were people who had worked for Muhammad Speaks and so would have given another kind of emphasis to the presentation. So it's kind of one-sided and not the whole that it was planned to be. But because we were prepared anyway, we thought that this might present an opportunity to raise other broader issues and to, as Dr. Lewin said, to have more discussion from the people in the audience. You know, one thing, if I'd had the time to prepare and then known that the other people weren't going to show, it might have been an even more interesting topic to address how Malcolm was reflected in the African American press, not just Muhammad Speaks. Because in the course of doing my research to compile this bibliography, if you read the New York Times versus reading, say, the Amsterdam News, you would come away with a qualitatively different interpretation of what Malcolm X was and what he stood for and what he said. And time again, you would find articles written covering the same event. And of course, for, say, the New York Times or some of the mainstream bourgeois papers, what they would do is they would quote out of context the most incendiary kind of quote they could find. And this would be the image that they presented of Malcolm. Whereas the African American press was much more of a balance, including quoting, just from a journalist point of view, longer passages, trying to put them in the context. So I think that seconds kind of what Dr. Lewin said in terms of the importance of the African American press. In terms of Muhammad Speaks, every newspaper represents an ideology of some kind, you know, that was most easily discerned by looking at the editorial pages. If you look at the Post, in terms of the editorials and in terms of the op-eds, it's an extremely right-wing newspaper. That kind of editorial bent is not, its only repository is not only on the editorial and the op-ed pages, but it's suffused throughout the newspaper. Muhammad Speaks, in addition to representing a particular ideological bent, also represents a particular organization. That is, it's the organ for a particular organization, the Nation of Islam. And so that when you look at how Malcolm was reflected within the pages of Muhammad Speaks, it's inseparable from Malcolm's relationship to the organization as a whole. So when you're looking, and that's one of the reasons why this, looking at this way is kind of unbalanced, so that you're not looking at a objective, quote-unquote, chronology of what Malcolm did and said. You're really looking at it through the eyes of how the organization, if I can call it religion, that the Nation of Islam saw Malcolm. So that the coverage is very much colored by that. I don't remember the exact year when Malcolm first came to New York as a minister, for Elijah Muhammad, he began to get in the African American press, particularly in the Amsterdam News, almost from the very beginning. And in fact, the first written mention in terms of newspapers of Malcolm started in an April 1957 issue of Amsterdam News, and Malcolm wrote a six-part piece that was titled God's Angry Men. Among other things, it's one of the few things that Malcolm actually wrote, as opposed to his speeches, which are commonly well known. And of course, there's nothing singularly important about that, because it very much reflects the eschatology of the Nation of Islam. And Malcolm, even as having a broader political perspective, even within the Nation of Islam, had not emerged yet. But that was back in 1957. In 1961, Malcolm founded Muhammad Speaks. It was initially published in New York. And the very first issue in December 1961 ran a picture of Malcolm and just a short mention calling him an eloquent and fiery speaker for Elijah Muhammad. From that point on, from the paper's founding, there was regular coverage of Malcolm's travels and his speeches. And one of the important things of is that it showed the breadth that Malcolm had in terms of his reaching out to the broader African-American community. In terms of a couple of things, there's an article in a January 1962 issue of a speech that Malcolm gave at Howard University to students primarily. In May 1962, there was a report on meetings he had had with Arab Muslims. And in July 62, there was a speech of an article on a speech that he gave at a rally for hospital workers in Harlem, the black and Latino hospital workers, where he shared the podium with the great African-American labor leader, A. Philip Randolph. So when you look through the coverage through there, you see that Malcolm had a much broader outreach than most of the ministers and leaders of the Nation of Islam had before and since, except for possibly Minister Farrakhan. In July 1963, there's an article that captured or reported on a speech that Malcolm gave to a rally of 5,000 people. It was on 125th Street and Lenox Avenue. From July 1963 up until December 1963, there's no mention of Malcolm within the pages of Muhammad Speaks. And that's very interesting because, you know, as you're looking through the issues, you find he's in every issue. There's a picture of him, or there's an article about him giving a speech, going here, doing that. There are, No, I'll get to that in a minute. So that you had the regular coverage of him. And then in July of 63, that coverage stopped. Although Malcolm was still going around and giving as many speeches and doing as many things as he was doing before. But the only way you would know that is because it's reflected in the Amsterdam News, because, again, their coverage was not tied to an organizational relationship with Malcolm X. Now, I guess there could be a lot of reasons why this happened, but I think if you look at his autobiography, you know, Malcolm mentions around that time there began to develop problems. And I think one of his theories was that there was a clique of people, if you want to call it that, around Elijah Muhammad that were, I think as he put it, poisoning Elijah Muhammad against him or playing one off against the other or whatever. Also, by this time, the newspaper had moved to Chicago and was printed there. But in any case, I mean, that's probably one of the most reasonable explanations of it. But in any case, from July to December, coverage ceased. When he's next mentioned, that's in December 20th. Yeah, questions at the end would be on the list. Where was that? In the next time he's mentioned after July 1963 was in the December 20th, 1963 issue. And in that issue, there's a statement by Elijah Muhammad saying that Malcolm was on, quote, indefinite suspension, unquote, for marks that he had made, which everybody is familiar with, around the assassination of President Kennedy. Well, one small interesting thing about that is that I think maybe even in the autobiography, Malcolm portrays the suspension as being a 90-day suspension. But that's not right, as the text of the statement was. It was an indefinite suspension. And in terms of researchers, that becomes an issue later because Malcolm left before the 90 days were up. And so some people had said, in fact, it was used within the pages of Muhammad Speaks, saying that after the 90 days, you know, Malcolm would have been allowed back in. But I'm not sure where, other than in the autobiography, I'm not sure where the 90-day term came from. But as the text was printed, and as Elijah Muhammad explained it to the U.S. nation, as well as the Nation of Islam, it was an indefinite suspension. Starting in March of 1964, Malcolm publicly announced that he had was leaving the Nation of Islam, and for all the reasons that most people are familiar with. Starting in April 1964 began a series of what could only be called attacks on Malcolm X within the pages of Muhammad Speaks. The first one was an article by Malcolm's brother, who was also a minister. I'm not sure in which mosque it was. In the May 1964 issue, there began a particularly vitriolic attack on Malcolm that was authored by Louis X, the minister of Boston who came to New York and, of course, later became Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's basically a three-part article, including what some people have seen to be as a veiled threat against Malcolm. The one quote that I remember, what he was saying, he was accusing Malcolm of spreading slander against Elijah Muhammad, and said that the Muslims will not tolerate evil talk, quote unquote, against the messenger. In retrospect, many people have looked back at that and said, regardless of what Minister Farrakhan's intentions were, that some people thought this gave a signal to other people in the Nation of Islam to go after Malcolm. Of course, that's speculation also. But in general, there's a whole series of things. Minister Farrakhan's was one of them. There were streams of letters to the editor. A number of ministers from around the country, most of whom had worked very closely with Malcolm, wrote in attacking. Most of the attacks were one around his personal character, saying essentially Malcolm was a pimp and a thug, and he used the Nation of Islam and continued in that line of living. Secondly, was just accusing him of slandering the personal life of Elijah Muhammad for his own ends, because he wanted to become the leader of the organization. Thirdly, there was the other stream was a kind of rewriting of history, whereas really they played down the role that Malcolm had played in building the Nation of Islam, saying he really didn't do that much. There was really other ministers that really built the nation. And fourthly was questioning his sanity. And this, they had his brother speak about that, and other people. And in essence, he just said Malcolm was crazy, was insane. So these are kind of the four categories, and there was a relatively steady stream of attacks throughout 1964. In 1965, when Malcolm was assassinated, there was no mention of the assassination in Muhammad Speaks. He was assassinated. Someone have to tell me the date, because I don't know.
February 21st,
okay. There was not a mention until several issues later of Muhammad Speaks. And then there was in the March 5th, 1965 issue, there was a Pakistani Muslim who was some kind of way allied with the Nation of Islam, who basically said that Malcolm died because of the path he followed, that he put his faith in guns instead of putting his faith in Allah, and that was kind of the general stream. Although there was no mention in that, and no official statement until much later by Elijah Muhammad or by the Nation of Islam as an organization about it, in the Egyptian Gazette of February 23rd, this is right after, the assassination, there was a statement by Elijah Muhammad that disavowed any connection to the assassination. So I thought it was a very interesting thing that the statement was made, but it was not reflected in the issues of Muhammad Speaks. After that, in terms of, if you go back and look through the Amsterdam News, the ensuing trial of the people that they caught, and everything was front page news for approximately the year that the trial went on. Muhammad Speaks basically gave no coverage to the trial whatsoever. And you really don't see any kind of coverage about Malcolm again until I think it's the 70s. And then there are some articles that are written about, also by the time of the late 70s, maybe early 80s, the Nation of Islam has gone through changes. I think Elijah Muhammad died about 75, 76, somewhere in that era. And then Wallace Muhammad became the leader, and they changed the name of the newspaper to the Bilalian News. Of course, then the eschatology of the nation had changed into what more people would call orthodox, quote-unquote, Islam. And then they began to relook at Malcolm and kind of saying that Malcolm had made this change, was just premature in having made this change earlier than the rest of the organization did. In terms of the research that I've done, it pretty much stops at that era. I know since then there has been regular coverage in a number of the papers. Of course, also since then, Minister Farrakhan has formed his own Nation of Islam, and their newspaper, The Final Call, has had some coverage of the people who were accused of assassinating Malcolm, most if not all of whom I think are still in the penitentiary, but have a wealth of information showing FBI or CIA involvement and kind of a frame-up of them. So there have been some articles in the 70s and 80s about that. Also, I know that Minister Farrakhan has also gave a speech where he talked about Malcolm and talked about his relationship to Malcolm and the split. That's on a tape, and I haven't heard it. Maybe other people would want to comment on that. So the focus of much of what I looked at was really from the very beginning of Muhammad Speaks until the period after the assassination.
Okay, I just wanted for the record to show that Brother Johnson has written a book, Malcolm X, a comprehensive annotated bibliography. And how can we obtain it?
If people want it, they could go to a bookstore and have to order it. Because it's a bibliography and not usually carried in bookstores. But it's published by Garland Publishing.
Okay. I also wanted to mention that You mentioned that the suspension was not for 90 days, but apparently, according to your research, he was also suspended before November 22nd. So that indicates that the estrangement was real and it was not just predicated on his statement. So there actually must have been something going on before November 22nd. Some people have said that was just a pretext. Well, I just thought I'd mention that. Another thing I want
can
to...
Can I make one point?
Yeah.
Okay, he was not suspended before then. All I'm saying is that coverage of him stopped in July.
So something had changed in somewhere, right? Okay.
Something
else I want to mention is that from what you were saying, the way that they wouldn't mention him or how they treated him, it shows that a publication cannot be neutral. It always has a political base to it. It always has a political, agenda that it's following. Whether it's your agenda, whether it was your old agenda, but it always has an agenda. That's because the publication has power. It has power and doesn't exist in a vacuum. I thought I mentioned that. Also thought I mentioned that desktop publishing is revolutionized publishing. There's a lot of opportunities for us to really get out there and get our own versions of Muhammad Speaks or our own publications going. I noticed that at Baruch College, we have a struggle going on. We've had some success in changing the administration, but all of a sudden the student newspaper won't publish us anymore. So we have to start our own publication. And let me just stop right there.